Wednesday, Baking Day. Each Wednesday plunged me headlong into another great losing battle with bread baking. When I first saw that fanatically happy look light up Bob's face when he spoke of chickens and realized that this was his great love, I made up my mind that I would become in record time a model farm wife, a veritable one-man production line, somewhere between a Grant Wood painting, an old Dutch cleanser advertisement, and Mrs. Lincoln's cookbook. Bread was my first defeat, and I lowered my standard a notch. By the end of the first winter, in view of my long record of notable failures, I would probably have had to retrieve this standard with a posthole digger. To begin with, the good sport, so the mountain legend has it, made her own yeast by grinding up potatoes, using one dry yeast cake per marriage, kept the yeast alive by adding potato water, and never allowing the yeast bowl to get cool. I had been on the farm a matter of seconds before I saw that the only way I could keep anything consistently warm would be to stuff it down the front of my dress, so I gave up the homemade yeast idea and resorted to deceit and fresh, store-bought yeast. My first batch of bread was pale yellow and tasted like something we had cleaned out of the cooler. I tried again. This batch had the damp elasticity of the English muffin that tasted like something we had intended to clean out of the cooler but was too heavy. At Bob's gentle but firm insistence, I took a loaf, still quivering from the womb, to a neighbor for diagnosis. Unfortunately, the neighbor, Mrs. Kettle, was just whipping out of the oven 14 of the biggest, crustiest, lightest loaves of bread I had ever seen. I put my little undernourished lump down on the table, and it looked so pitiful among all those great, bouncing, well-tanned beauties that I had to control a strong desire to jerk it up, nestle it against me protectively, and run the 4 miles home. Mrs. Kettle had 15 children and baked 14 loaves of bread, 12 pans of rolls, and 2 coffee cakes every other day. She was a very kind neighbor, a long-suffering wife and mother, and a hard worker, but she was earthy and to the point. She picked my stillborn loaf from the table, ripped it open, smelled it, made a terrible face, and tossed it out the back door to her pack of mangy, ever-hungry mongrels. "Goddamn stuff stinks," she said companionably, wiping her hands on her large, dirty front. She moved the gallon-sized gray granite coffee pot to the front of the stove, went into the pantry for the cups, and called out to me, "Ma Hinckley had trouble with her bread, too, when she lived on your place." I brightened, thinking it might be the climate up there on the mountains, but Mrs. Kettle continued, "Ma Hinckley set her bread at night, and the sponge was fine, and I couldn't put my finger on her trouble till one day I went up there, and then I seed what it was. She'd knead up her bread, build a roaring fire, and then go out and lay up with the hired man. When she got back to the kitchen, the bread was too hot and the yeast was dead. Your yeast was dead, too," she added. Having quite obviously been given the glove, I hurriedly explained that we had no hired man, and the barn was now a chicken house. Mrs. Kettle heaved a sigh for all good things past and poured our coffee. With the coffee, she served hot cinnamon rolls, raspberry jam, and detailed accounts of the moral lapses of the whole country. It was almost noon when I left for home, clutching a loaf of Mrs. Kettle's bread, 2 pocketfuls of anecdotes for Bob, and a few hazy instructions for myself. On the long walk home, I attempted to strain my baking formula from the welter of folklore, but from that day forward, my wooden bread bowl was to me a sort of phallic symbol, and as I kneaded and rolled the unwilling dough, I mulled over the little unconventionalities of my neighbors and wondered through which window the hired man used to beckon to Ma Hinckley. Mrs. Kettle had told me that I didn't work fast enough, that store-bought yeast should never be set the night before, and the bread had to be made quickly in one morning. I worked like a frenzied maniac, and I baked 3 loaves of bread twice a week, and it made the house smell peasanty, and in my letters home I referred very often to my homemade bread, But Bob's reaction, standard, was the true criterion of my success. He said only, "Will it cut?"